You want to turn in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. While you're turning there, I just wanted to mention to you my sister-in-law. It appears that she is not going to be a candidate for chemotherapy, and it seems, based on what her son told me yesterday, that she'll be going into hospice care. So we would appreciate your prayers for my sister-in-law, Gloria. Matthew 28, and let's read beginning at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And again, these events took place in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity. Help us to never take these services for granted. Help them to never become something that we do out of duty. We pray that there would be a rejoicing in our heart, that we would be glad every time we have the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord. We thank you for your people, and we pray that you would bless them and encourage them and help them as we look into your word tonight to receive something that will be a blessing in the days ahead. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we mentioned that the message of Easter, the message of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, is too important. It's too wonderful. It's too amazing. Love so amazing, so divine. It's to confine to one Sunday a year. And so tonight we want to continue to not even scratch the surface of this subject. Only eternity will reveal the depth of the message of the Savior's love for us. It is the message of all eternity. And what we would like to do tonight is look at three events that I hope that we'll see line up perfectly and speak to us and give us an example of how this message spans the length of this book. Now, as we begin, we need to think about something that we mentioned briefly this morning, and I guess really that tonight's message is a continuation of this morning's message. But that's how God began measuring time. Look back for just a minute to Genesis chapter 1. Now, if you're thinking that we have talked about these things before, you're exactly right. We have. But Kent said something one time in a conversation. I don't think he said it in a message. He said it in a conversation that we were having. That you have to hear something 21 times before you really learn it. And I don't think that we've been over these things 21 times yet. So, hang on. We may go over them again at some time in the future. But we need to go over them, because what we're battling here is the tradition of men. The tradition of men. And there are few things stronger, are more entrenched than man's traditions. And so the way to battle those traditions is with the truth of the Word of God. So with that in mind, look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Look at verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Look at verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And then verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, there's a point just in passing that I'd like to mention to you. We just read about the first 6 days of creation week. Each day bounded by morning and evening. Well, here's what's interesting. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Now what's interesting is that the seventh day of creation week is the only day where we are not told that the evening and the morning were the seventh day. Even though that seventh day was made up of the evening and the morning, it was a 24-hour day. But we don't read that here. And that's not an oversight on the part of the Spirit of God. I believe it's a message. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. If we apply that to the 7 days of creation week, then the history of God's dealings with man would be 7,000 years. And that seventh day would be the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. When the Lord Jesus has put down all rule and all authority and power, when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The millennium pictured by this seventh day of creation week, with no bounds, no mention of evening and morning. It's like that because it's picturing to us the eternal reign and the eternal rest of the Lord Jesus. That's why we don't see the boundary of evening and morning on this day. It's a picture of this eternal day that's coming. Isn't this book amazing? In its absolute consistency and perfection. And the little things that the Lord puts in these verses for us to think about. But that's not why we came here. We came here to look at the first 6 days of creation week. And as we look at these days here in Genesis chapter 1, they are 24-hour days. It is true, as Dr. Henry Morris points out, if you have a Defender Study Bible, that the morning and the evening of the first 3 days were not produced by the rising and setting of the sun, since the sun wasn't created until the fourth day of creation week. But nevertheless, there was a constantly recurring interchange, Dr. Morris points out, of light and darkness that produced day and night upon the earth every 24 hours. And I would suggest something to you. At the end of verse 4 of chapter 1, we're told that God divided the light from the darkness. Now look at verse 16 of chapter 1. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Notice those words. The Lord put the sun and the moon and the stars. He put these things in the heavens to divide the light from the darkness. Well, for the first 3 days of creation week, God did that. He divided the light from the darkness. God Himself established the interchange of light and darkness that produced day and night every 24 hours. God Himself was the light. And that shouldn't surprise us. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's called the Son, the S-U-N of righteousness. In John's Gospel, twice, in chapter 8 and chapter 9, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In Revelation 21 and verse 30, we read, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, is the light thereof." That's how it was for the first 3 days of creation. There was no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten the earth. The Lamb was the light of the sun and the moon that produced day and night upon the earth every 24 hours. Now what we've come here for is to see how God bounded these 24-hour days. He bounded them and defined them not by morning and evening. That's how you and I define our days. Our days begin in the morning, they end in the evening. But God, He didn't do it that way. He did it by evening and morning. The measure of days began in the evening. 6 times we read it. And the evening and the morning were the day. Now why would the Lord do it like that? Well, turn over to Exodus chapter 12, if you will. Exodus chapter 12. And look at verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Kill it in the evening. Now we want to notice something here. God changes time for His people in this chapter. He says in verse 2 that this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. It's the beginning of months. It's the first month of the year. And the important day of this first month, the day that was to be a memorial to them, is the 14th day of the month. And what happened on that day to cause it to be memorialized forever? The Passover lamb was to be slain. And when was the lamb to be slain? In the evening. In the evening. Those were God's specific instructions in verse 6. But why in the evening? Well, a thought. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When was the foundation of the world laid? When did the world begin? It began on day one of creation. And the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day of the world. And in the mind of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was slain on that day. That day that began in the evening. Just as this Lamb that pictures Christ, our Passover, was slain in the evening, in this beginning of months for the people of God. From the very beginning of creation, God is directing our attention to the coming sacrifice of His Son. He is constantly directing our attention to Calvary because it's the most important event in all of history. The place where the Lamb of God would offer the one sacrifice for sins forever. And so God measures time beginning in the evening because it points us to the sacrifice of the Lamb. The Passover begins in Exodus chapter 12 in the evening. And that's how it's observed. In Matthew chapter 26 and in Mark chapter 14, we read how the disciples made ready the Passover, and in the evening, the Lord Jesus came with the 12. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, ate the Passover in the evening. So we have this order that is so important. Evening and morning. Now, look, if you will, if you want to hang your finger here in Exodus, because we want to come back here in a few minutes, but turn over to Matthew chapter 12. I think we mentioned this these verses, if not last Sunday, then maybe briefly this Sunday. Time kind of runs together. But look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The Lord Jesus says here very plainly, very definitely, that He's going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. In a message from this verse, the Lord, through Pastor Kelly, kind of turned my way of thinking upside down. My way of thinking that had been shaped and molded by the tradition of men. He said there is no way to get 3 days and 3 nights between Friday and Sunday. And then Kent in that message asked this question, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Man and his traditions that have the crucifixion on Friday and the resurrection on Sunday? Or are you going to believe the Word of God? And then Pastor Kelly laid out the 3 days and 3 nights. I've never forgotten that. Never forgotten that teaching. He said that the Lord Jesus had to be crucified on a Wednesday. John tells us in chapter 19 and verse 31 that the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, and we know that the Jews had Sabbath days, plural, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. This is an example of how strong the traditions of men are, how deep-seated they are, and how people will defend them. Here are the Jews crucifying the Lord of glory. But that isn't what they were worried about. What they are worried about is their tradition of keeping the Sabbath. Not to be out after a certain time. So the Jews, on the day that the Lord was crucified, have this problem. The day is getting on. The Sabbath is about to begin. It'll begin at sundown. It'll begin at 6 p.m. It'll begin in the evening. The date of that Sabbath is the 14th of Nisan. The 14th day of the first month, if you will. And at about 6 p.m. on that day, in the evening of that day, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is laid in the tomb. And now we can count the 3 days and three nights. From 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. on the 14th of Nisan is the Lord's first night in the heart of the earth. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the 14th of Nisan is the Lord's first day in the heart of the earth. The evening and the morning were the first day. From 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. on the 15th of Nisan is the Lord's second night in the heart of the earth. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on that day is the Lord's second day in the heart of the earth. The evening and the morning were the second day. From 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. on the 16th of Nisan is the Lord's third night in the heart of the earth. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the 16th of Nisan is the Lord's third day in the heart of the earth. The evening and the morning were the third day. The 17th of Nisan begins at 6 p.m. It begins in the evening. It's the end of the Sabbath. And it's beginning to dawn toward the first day of the week. That day, the 17th of Nisan, first day of the week, a Sunday. It's a day that the Lord Jesus rises from the dead. We want to think about that date for just a minute. It's the anniversary of two important events that are recorded here in the Word of God that picture this day. Look back at Genesis chapter 8, if you will. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. The seventh month here is the month Nisan, which answers to part of our March and part of our April. And you remember that we read a few minutes ago in Exodus chapter 12 at the establishment of the Passover, that this seventh month, Nisan, became the first month. And so in this month, the first month, the 17th day of the month, the earth that had been under the waters of death, on that day, God brought forth the earth from those waters of death. And He brought the earth forth in newness of life. In newness of life. And on that day, the 17th of Nisan, that same day, God brought forth our ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the waters of death. On that day, He raised Him from the dead. He brought Him forth in newness of life. Now, if you kept your finger over in Exodus, turn back there to Exodus chapter 12. And I think we'll read at verse 6 to pick back up with our thought. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. It's the 14th of Nisan. And in the evening, the Passover lamb is slain. Now, look at chapter 12 and verse 41. Chapter 12 and verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed for all the children of Israel in their generations. It's now the 15th of Nisan. You don't have to turn over. If you want to, you can. If you want to mark this verse. But Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. Don't leave Exodus. Don't Exodus. But look at Numbers chapter 33. And look at verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. Verse 3. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover. Passover on the 14th, they departed on the 15th. The children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. And so they departed on the 15th day of the month Nisan, on the morrow after the Passover. Now, look at Exodus chapter 13 and verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. It's now the 16th of Nisan. Passover on the 14th, they left on the 15th, is now the 16th. Now look at chapter 14 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. They've now gone 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Remember, that was what the Lord initially told them back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18. They were to go into Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron and the elders of Israel, and they were to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that they might worship the Lord." The Lord has intentionally brought them this way. We read that in chapter 13 and verse 18. "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." So it's now the 17th of Nisan. Now look at verse 21 of chapter 14. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Look at verse 27. "And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." Notice the perfect consistency here on this 17th day of Nisan. We see the evening and the morning. "The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground." And then in verse 27, "Moses stretches forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared." Perfect consistency. An incredible day in the Word of God. The 17th day of Nisan. On the 17th day, the people of God came forth from the waters of the Red Sea. Incredible day. On this date, same date, the 17th of Nisan, the earth came forth in newness of life from the waters of death. On the 17th day of Nisan, the people of God who had left Egypt under the power and the protection of the blood of the Passover lamb came forth from the waters of the Red Sea. And on the 17th of Nisan, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, came forth from the grave. He came forth from the waters of death. This beginning of months, the first month of the year, why is it like that? Because newness of life begins with the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark, the Lord Jesus, pitched within and without by His precious blood. Life begins when we take the blood by faith of Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. And we apply His blood to our hearts. The blood that has the power to wash us from our sins. Life begins when we receive the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life that He offers to whosoever will. Whosoever will come and take their place as a sinner and trust Him to be their Savior. It's an amazing day here in the Word of God. Has there been a 17th of Nisan in your life? It's a very important question. Has there been a beginning of months in your life? A time when you ceased from your own labors to save yourself and you entered into the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rested in Him? Has there been a time when you have applied the blood of the Lamb of God to your heart? Time when you've been delivered from the slavery and bondage of sin. Come forth from the waters of death in newness of life. You can tonight. You can trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And If we know Him, we can rejoice in the perfection of this book. We'll study these things through all of eternity. And we'll rejoice in our Savior in that day. All through those days, all through the endless ages of eternity. As He does, as He did after His resurrection on the road to Emmaus with the two men that He joined. He showed to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. What a great day that will be. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And it's an amazing Word. The mind of God. We thank You that You would place it in our hands. And we pray that there would be a desire in our hearts to study it. To learn. To see all of the ways in this book that You point us to the event of all eternity. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, His burial, His resurrection from the dead, the message of the gospel. We thank You for that message tonight. And we pray that the portion of each person here is that they have believed that message. And we pray that if we know You as our Savior, that we would be giving out that message while there's still time to do that. We pray that You would bless Your people tonight. We thank You for their faithfulness to come. We commit them to You and pray Your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.